So you've been busy today?
Pretty busy, mostly traveling.
Uh-huh.
But we went to the office first because we need a lot of, the coordination is pretty intense.
So the office here in Aspen?
No, I stopped in the office in Pueblo as we came up here, and we stopped in Denver for a bit. And,
okay, great.
But I can't tell you how much I'm pleased to be traveling this state. It's the most beautiful state in the world. This district's got to be the most beautiful district in the state, maybe in the United States.
Well, I want to welcome you to Aspen.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
So why do you want to run for this seat? This is a tough one for Democrats, or it has been at least the last couple times.
Well, I feel an obligation. My whole career has been one that I've been prioritizing my life, raising my family, making a living. But I've always answered the call when there is a call for me to do something. I ran for the school board even when I was running a very successful business because I had that desire to serve on the school board. After the school board, after 8 years, 2 years as the president, I thought it was somebody else's turn. So I went back to my business thinking I'd make money. And the call came to run for the legislature, which wasn't a natural for me. But again, I felt a need to give to my community. I ran for the legislature. I won. I was asked to run for the Senate. I ran for the Senate. I served 8 years in the Senate. Meanwhile, I still ran my business. But after 12 years in the legislature, I feel a very successful 12 years. I decided that I'm ready to settle down. At that point, I was called and asked to be the director, the executive director of the Colorado Lottery. The headquarters was in Pueblo, so that was very exciting for me to do. It's a hidden jewel for Colorado. You don't ask for money. You actually make money. You try to make people happy, give them what they want. And then at the end of the day, the profit goes right back to the state of Colorado. Every state, every county, every city in the state of Colorado gets some help from the Colorado Lottery. So I was so blessed to run that. I enjoyed it. But at the beginning of this year, I decided, hey, I've done that. Now I'm ready to retire. So I was trying to figure out how it is to be retired after 40 years of work. Usually two or three jobs. I was starting to get in the swing of things. But then I didn't see a good opponent for our incumbent congressman. I served with Scott Tipton. I don't feel that he is representing me. I don't think he's representing my district. I don't think he's adequately representing the 3rd Congressional. And I thought, well, I can't sit back and complain about it. Do something about it. I have the credentials. I believe I have something to offer. I have a track record of actually getting things done. I think politicians should rate their success by what they accomplish. And I felt I did well in the legislature. And we deserve at least that. We deserve someone to not just stop everything, but actually go forward with things, to try to fix things. As the engineer, I'm a fixer. That's what I do. And I look forward to all of these issues that we have, this gridlock that we have in Washington, D.C. As my friends and I are sitting having coffee and we're complaining about the gridlock, and just so frustrated with it, I came up with, it takes an engineer to break gridlock. So that's what my intent is. But the real reason is because I feel an obligation to run.
Well, it's a far cry from being retired, running for office, especially in a large district like this. The logistics of running a campaign in this district are difficult.
Absolutely.
But as an engineer, I guess you're plotting that out as well, the travel.
Well, I went into this with my eyes open. I did review John Salazar's race in 2010. I was actually always supportive of John. I conferred with him when he just ran the first time. He ran a great race. He did very well. But I saw the numbers in 2010. I also have a very good friend in Sal Pace. He's a very, very young, dynamic young person that is now our county commissioner in Pueblo. But I sat down with him and reviewed how he did. I've developed a plan, I believe, that can take into account those two issues and be successful in November.
So you look at Sal Pace's campaign and John Salazar's campaigns. What are the issues, though, this year that are going to be different from what they faced? I mean, I'm thinking of, for example, oil and gas. Fracking is an issue that's probably going to be on a statewide ballot, on people's minds. The gridlock you mentioned, Congress isn't the most popular entity in the United States right now. So what kinds of issues are you strategizing around or expecting that you'll be facing?
Well, it's interesting because I'm traveling around the state. I've been to Grand Junction. I've been to Steamboat Springs. This last weekend, we went to Walsenburg, all the way south, ending up in Durango. And it seems like issues are different in different parts of the state, even in this third congressional district. As we went to Walsenburg, it was the gas extraction. They've had some terrible failures there. As I go further up the canyon, I go to Steamboat Springs, and the veterans issues is a big issue. If you're a veteran and you need services, you either go to New Mexico or Denver. We have elderly people that need help, and they can take a van and spend 7 hours in a van. I don't know that that's acceptable. I go down to Durango, and they have some open space wilderness issues that they were really happy with John Salazar that he was putting forward, and it just kind of died on a vine. And then I go up to Steamboat Springs, and there is issues about mining and natural resources. My career is one of a civil engineer that work in the mining industry as a reclamation engineer. So that's a big issue. But healthcare is a big issue. Just what's happening in D.C. is a major issue. People are frustrated to the very max in terms of the inactivity of what happens in D.C. One of my reasons for running is I want to lift the feeling that the general citizens have of our representative people. I've worked with a lot of congressmen, a lot of senators, a lot of state elected officials. I think the majority of them are well-meaning, hard-working, want to get things done. But when the dynamics are such that the friction is such that it is gridlock, I think the biggest issue is apathy amongst voters and disgust that absolutely nothing's getting done. And I don't know. I think that's worse than when John Salazar was there. When John Salazar in 2010, there was kind of a sweep through the United States. We lost a lot of people and for different reasons, but John was caught up in that. Sal, I think there were a lot of issues, energy issues. I think just the geographic part of this district was very hard. Although he actually has more connections on the Western Slope than I do. And as I go and talk to people, I find that he really did his homework. He did well.
So as you look out and you're planning a campaign, how much of it is sort of, as you're doing, talking with people and getting a sense of what's on voters' minds, and how much of it is finding vulnerabilities in the record of Scott Tipton?
For me, it's more what I have to offer. I feel I have a lot to offer. I have a legislative history. Anybody can look at it. They know how I voted in 12 years. That is what I hope to sell. What Scott Tipton has done, I'm watching for that. I'm looking at it. But I'm not running so much against Scott Tipton as much as I have something more to offer.
So what has been missing then? What can you bring? What kinds of things have not been present in the 3rd District that you could bring to people that live there?
Well, I think representation. What I'm seeing in Washington, D.C. is whatever the president offers, the Republicans lock down and just kill it. It just kills it. And with a degree of satisfaction. And this goes to Washington in general. It just can't move forward. Balancing the budget, dealing on fiscal issues, dealing even on the conflicts that we're having. Instead of trying to solve, getting together, resolve issues. I have a track record in the state that I worked with the Republicans. The Republican governor asked me to carry bills that I was proud to because they just made good sense. I don't see that happening at all. And that means we're not getting anything done.
You served on the Appropriations Committee, chaired it, correct?
Correct.
So what is that? What is that budgetary part? What do you bring to the seat in a budgetary sense? Because a lot of people are looking at the deficit, and you hear that, you know, you hear about the economy is either getting better or it's still bad. But from a budget person point of view, what can you do?
Well, the budget is what reflects our values. I was very pleased to serve on the Budget Committee for 4 years, two of them as chair. And at that time, our budget committee in the state of Colorado is 4 Republicans and 4 Democrats. So if there is a deadlock, if you want to actually have a roadblock, that's just a recipe for it. But if you work together, for common purposes, not party so much as what is needed in Colorado, every 4 years, we agreed on the budget. Every 4 years, we balanced the budget. Every 4 years, there were a couple years that were really hard years where we had to cut back. And there were a couple years that referendum C money was available, and we were able to invest that. But all of the 4 years, we were able to come together. That is what's needed in D.C. It wasn't that the Democrats were the majority party or the minority. They happened to be in the majority party. So when we went across the street and we went to sell it, I had a little easier sell. But before we even went across the street, we had to agree. So I really think the budget is what drives things. In D.C., the budget is what drives things. Our priorities may be a little skewed. And we fight so much, and then we end up in deadlock. And I don't know that one person is going to change Washington, D.C., but maybe 10, and then maybe 50, and then maybe 100. But it needs to be changed.
Speaking of money, campaign money, since your entry into the race, one observer has said that it went from a safe Republican district to a likely Republican district. So you've already kind of moved the dial a little bit. Is that going to free up national money from the party to help you in this race?
Well, I'll tell you, that's the hardest part of this race. I'd be happy to sit down and talk to anybody about my values, my record, and actually meet people. I'm a people person. I love meeting people. But I have to ask for money. I have to show that I can raise money. I have to prove to Washington, D.C. that I am a viable threat. And with everything that's happened in the election cycles, the amount of money needed to run a race like this is disgusting. We could use that money so much better somewhere else. But it's part of what we do. So I'm going to work real hard, and I've never backed down from a challenge. I ran for a Senate seat in Pueblo, Colorado, where we had a very, very good candidate on the Republican side. She was a wife of a physician. She served in the legislature with me. I think we were at par. I was in the legislature. I was bound and determined that she wasn't going to raise more money than me. And at the very end of the day, I did raise a little bit more than her, and I ended up winning by close to 60%.
In terms of representing the people of the district, I have heard many times that Latino voters feel disenfranchised. Do you think that's a problem, and can you perhaps bring representation in that sector of the district that hasn't been provided before?
I really hope so. You know, I'm very proud Hispanic. I was the chairman of the Latino Caucus. I served at the national level in terms of state legislators. But when I go home, when I go to other areas, when I go and meet people, they are disenfranchised. What have you done for me lately? What was government done for me? Why should we vote? And I'm out there saying, because it makes a difference. Because you have to go out and vote. Without your voice, you don't get heard. And I'm hoping to make that difference. We have a ticket that I think is going to be very attractive to Latinos. Mark Udall's a great candidate. He's working terrifically hard. The governor's on the ticket, but Joe Garcia is always gets mentioned because he's such a great guy. I'm on the ticket. We have a Leroy Garcia that's running on for my old Senate seat in Pueblo. And we have a lot of other, Ed Vigil from Antonito is on the ticket. So we're hoping to engage that community. We're hoping to energize them. And when they vote, we're all better off. Everybody should vote. We should not suppress vote. We should make that vote available because then we do have representative government.
Well, thank you very much and good luck to you.
I enjoyed it. Thank you for having me.
I'm Roger Adams, Aspen Public Radio News.